there a time in this life when it's gonna rain all through the night? There are times in a day you go lose sight and can't find your way. But if you stand on the word and remember Christ went through some pain, there are times when you feel you can't even pray. I'm here to encourage you. Hear me when I say, come with me, stay with me.
It's gonna be alright.
Even when it's raining, get your head up. Change the way you see it. You've got to stand in faith like you believe it. Everybody sees the God in you. You're the sample of the example. Let him shine through you. You need to stand on his word and remember Christ went through some pain. And in those times when you can't find the strength to break, I'm here to encourage you. Hear me when I say, get your head up. It will be better.
It's gonna be alright.
Get your head up. Even when it's raining, everything is gonna be alright. When you don't know what to do, get your head up.
It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna get better.
Yes, it will.
It's gonna be alright.
Oh, oh.
It's gonna be alright.
Even when it's raining outside,
it's gonna be alright today.
It's gonna be alright.
Yes. Everything's gonna be all right. It's from that A Long Time Coming CD. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my. Oh, speaking of positive things, and that album, that, oh man, that CD, I've heard it many, many, many times. Going back, that Brother Tisdale.
Yes.
Got some questions to ask you about that music, man. That music in the background, I mean, that was a perfect compliment to your voice. Now, I want you to tell us a little bit, because we're going to go to another segment here just in a second, because you mentioned something earlier. We talked about past events a little bit in the beginning of this segment about things that's been happening. I think it's important for us to point out some things that we really need to pay attention to, but also some things that are uplifting. Now, that CD, I've had it for years now. You produced that. What year did that CD come out? That album?
That had to be in 2016 or 2014, somewhere in that, I believe.
Okay.
And, you know, I poured what I had into producing of that music, and it was kind of a hard task, you know, trying to be in the independent lane when you don't have a fan base, and then the hackers get in and they do different things and kind of undermine what I intended, but that's still all right. The music is still there. I would like to do a reproduction of the whole album with a little different approach, and maybe with a little bit more producing from outside myself.
Well, you know, I tell you what, it's great the way it is, and whatever you're going to do to it, you spice it up, whatever you need to do, I'm sure you're going to accomplish that, because I told you when I first heard it, man, I said, man, this is really, really good stuff, and it's an inspiration to us all, so I want to thank you for that. I do have a question to ask you.
Yes.
I heard some mean bass in that. Were you playing the bass guitar as well?
I never played. Wayman played bass on several of the tracks that are in there. And then I had another Seco Bunch. He played tracks, some bass tracks on one of the tunes, maybe two of them.
Right.
And some of the percussionary stuff that was done by Tim Bolly. And then the vocals were done by Lady D and her daughter.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. You know, and Dr. Demery, you know, I had the pleasure along with you of being in the same choir with this, this artist, this gospel artist. Yep. Man, that was fun. That was so much fun. You say, hey, Brother Brown, you need to do this or try this or blah, 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 whatever it was. Cause I was sitting right next to you, folks. I was sitting right next to it. No question about it. He mentioned Wayman, and that is Wayman Tisdale, which will also be featured tonight on, my Sunday Night Gold show. I love Wayman Tisdale's music. Love it. Love it. Love it. And Dr. Demery told us something that I had no idea. You told Wayman how to play the bass.
I taught him some of his first basic notes, and wherever Wayman took his level of competency and his bass playing, he did that from just taking time studying different artists, studying some of the old school styles, and man, he picked it up and adopted to it so very well that he produced and brought his own distinctive sound.
Some of the artists that accompanied Wayman, can you was Brian Culberson one? I'm not sure. There were several different jazz artists that he featured. I'm sorry, go on.
He worked with a lot of different people, man. He worked with George Duke intensively. He worked with Parliament. What's his name?
George Clinton.
George Clinton. He worked with Jonathan Butler. He worked with Tom Braxton, a young man by the name of Mark Harper, phenomenal guitar player, played with many different bands. He's straight out of Dallas. It's just so many people to be mentioned, and I hate to overlook any, and so many that I'm not even aware, because I wasn't in every place and every moment and what he was doing. And he worked with the Yellow Jackets. You know, he did a lot of different things. Was a affiliated with Stanley Clark.
Stanley Clark.
And Marcus Miller. You know, the list goes on and on. Dave Cobbs, you know. It's too Jeff Golub. Now, Jeff Golub is passed too. But, man, he was, Wayman and he, they did a lot of things together.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I remember that tune too, him and Jeff Golub too. So many, and the music was just so, it was just, man.
Robert Wilson and he did a tune together, man, a bass funk that they did together. I can't recall the title, but it's on one of the Wayman's albums. It's really nice.
Text me the title of that song.
I'll have to look it up then.
Well, you got glasses on. Send it to me.
You know, I haven't, my studio is still not in disrepair. It's just not set up since I transitioned from California here. So a lot of the information is on information that I'm speaking to that I would call from. It's on my Mac. So once I get that up and running, hopefully by midsummer or sometime before fall, hopefully. Thing reset up, and I'm gonna try to re-enter myself within doing a few productions and see what I can do that might be more pleasing to the ear today, you know, because we got enough of all the other stuff that we are hearing, and, you know, and I would like to just complement that by bringing something that's wholesome to listen to. Even if it's more in what I would call message music.
Man, look.
Kurt Whalum is another one that Wayman.
Oh boy. Yep. As a matter of fact, I don't know the title of that song either, but I was playing Kirk Whalum, Jeff Golub, and along with Wayman not too long ago, and it's gonna happen again tonight, folks. And speaking of which, Sunday Night Gold, it's a treat. Sunday Night Gold is yours truly and the jazzy one, Jasmine Vegas, and tonight is jazz, nothing but jazz tonight. So it's gonna be really cool. And now, Dr. Demery, now you're a musician also. You play the string bass, which is different, obviously, and to the non-musicians and don't know, there's a big difference between the string bass and the upright bass, isn't it? So how did you learn? Did you learn on your own, or were you formally taught how to play the string bass?
Well, I was fortunate enough to have some lessons, and then I kind of took it and went my own way. That's kind of what Danny did with his brother. You know, he taught him some of the basics and introduced him to the bass, and then, you know, Wayman kind of took it and did his own thing because he developed a whole new style of playing the bass, you know,
right,
where you thumb and hit the strings and get a whole new unique sound out of it. But I was just fortunate to develop the fact that I have a really good ear, and I can hear it. And it's kind of the same thing I do with languages. When I speak a different language, I actually can see the words being written out, and I can kind of see the notes on a bass, because the bass clef and the treble clef are two different things.
That's right.
I'm able to kind of master the bass clef, because I mostly play treble clef instruments, and then when I made the transition to bass clef, it was, like Danny can tell you, it's a whole nother thing.
That's right.
Learn different scales and all of that, so I was able to learn some of the basic scales and then take it from there. Because once you learn your scales, then you can basically play, you know, the instrument and kind of develop your own style from there. So
that's true. I'm
fortunate to be able to do that.
And both of you are absolutely right, because I was a brass player myself. I played the trumpet, the sousaphone, French horn, and baritone. And I was a music major in college. And I started when I was in, what it used to be junior high school. Okay, I'm dating myself right now. Now it's middle school, right? And I remember, going from the treble clef to the bass clef. I said, oh my God. Cause I just thought I'd pick up the bass horn and things of that nature. And I was automatic. I could play it just like a trumpet, but no. So folks, what we're talking about right now, we're talking about music education right now, but there's so many different things that you can learn and you can teach. Let's say, for instance, you are a musician. Hey, take a child aside and teach them music. Now, I'm going to tell you, the advantage there is music. If you learn how to play a music or you can sing, okay, and also Dr. Dimmer mentioned something about different languages. It expands your mental capabilities. That is a proven fact. It's a scientific fact. So it's enough to introduce your child to, if they're interested, into music or writing or taking up a second language or a different language. I tell you, there's a story, and there have been many stories about mothers who, let's say they are bilingual and they know English proficiently, and or whether it's proficiently or not, or they know Spanish or they know German or French or whatever their language is. And the best time to teach a child is when they are young. That gray matter there hasn't been infiltrated by the negative things. Danny, you're smiling right there. That young mind is so impressionable. And teach them while they're young before their minds get cluttered up with all these other distracting things that are negative in nature. What's your take?
I think that's so important that you start early on. And just like with the bass clef and the foundation for any song, it's based upon the beat, the bass level, and the foundational notes that are made that are performed by the bass line and the treble and the bass clef, which gives the bottom support. And such as a child, we have to take time out with our children to get a good foundation in them of truth. Because they're going to meet with a lot of gray matter, as you call it, and different things that this world automatically introduces just because we live in it. You know, we are a spiritual being having an earthly experience on this earth, you know. And when we have the right foundation for the connection to our spiritual connection to the creator of all, then we're doing something. And then we have to be taught certain walks of life, how to do business, like you said earlier, how to interview, how to market yourself, you know. And then not only that, but introduce the children to the arts and then let them choose which way they want to go, whether it becomes photography or in music or painting or building beautiful structures, whatever. You know, the creative side of our being is something that must be engaged in many different ways.
It has to be. It has to be. You know what's really unique, Dr. Demery, is that you think about the different walks of life that each one of us, the paths that we chose or the paths that we have taken or whatever it is, they're different. Now you take Danny. His major vocation had to do with energy, electricity. You know, am I right, Danny?
That's correct.
Okay, Dr. Demery, I'm gonna let you jump back in, Danny. Your vacation. Now you were a former police officer, and among other things, right? And now you are, not now, but you, over several years, you become a pastor and a doctor of divinity. You know, with me, I was in the, and still am, you know, in the financial world. And one day, gentlemen, one day I was invited to be a co-host on a radio program. Hadn't thought about it really, that wasn't something that I really had seen or perceived growing up. And also being a financial professional, hadn't perceived that. I thought I was going to do, as a matter of fact, when I was in grade school, I said I was going to be a music teacher. Because I've always loved music. There was something that was always intriguing with me about music. And my life took a different path. And then I came back. And I remember one day, I was here in Richmond, Virginia. And this is before I moved to California. And one of my cousins called me up. Said, hey, cuz, was it you I just heard on the radio? Said, you sounded great. I said, no, it wasn't me. It was not me. And I'm thinking, you fast forward to a few decades and now I'm on radio.
Okay.
Now, what if I had taken that, what she thought I was back then, and pursued it back then? And I'm thinking, wow, where would I be? But then I can't go back and say, I wish I could have and done this and stuff like that, because I had no idea this was the path that God was going to lead me to. You see? And so I can't go back, and this is a very important lesson that I learned, and hopefully if someone else. Do not dwell on wisha, coulda, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that. If I had only done this, or if I only had this, my life would be so different. Folks, do not get caught up in that quagmire. Because if we start thinking backwards and we start thinking about what if I could have been in the past, you're going to be stuck there. Think about what you have now and the opportunities that you have right now. What's in front of you right now? What can I pursue right now? You know, I am not going to be nourished by a steak that I ate a year ago. Okay? I'm not going to benefit by something that I could have done. And to dwell on that, then that leads to something that is not going to turn out positive. You know, I have a relative right now. Oh man. You know, and say they're not doing well right now financially or whatever it is. Oh man, I had this back in the '80s. I had this and back there and this was that and the other. That was then, man. Now is now. What am I going to do now? I can't erase things that I did in the past, but I can, move forward and I can learn from what didn't go right and perhaps change directions and do something that's real right. So, Dr. Demery, I'm gonna ask a question. When you were a police officer, did you ever think that you were gonna be a preacher?
Well, to back up just a little bit, that was always a secondary thing for me. I was doing that to try to provide for my family while I was in seminary. Because when I was first year, I was in seminary, and I knew that I was going to be a preacher. I had just ran from it for so long. I knew God had called me back when I was in high school, and I ran. And I was doing other things, but God said, "Okay, you go ahead, boy. Go ahead and do what you want to do." And then, so God got a hold of me and got me back. You know, and so I tried running from it, and it didn't do very much good because God said, "Go ahead and do what you want to do. I know what your calling is," because there's a difference between a preacher who says, "This is my vocation," and one who says, "This is my calling." And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I was called. This ain't no vocation for me. I was, you know, in my denomination, we have to go before a psychologist to make sure we're not nutty, you know, and make sure we're psychologically. And she said, "Oh, well, your vocation is a minister." And I said, "No, that ain't my vocation, woman. I was called to preach." And she said, "Whoa, God." You know, so don't tell me this is my vocation. Shoot, I was called because I didn't want to do this.
Right.
I didn't want to be a preacher, you know. But God said, "You know, this is what you're going to do, boy. I'm telling you what you're going to do."
Right.
And so, you know, I was always in the back of my mind knowing that this is what I was going to do. So that's why, you know, my undergraduate degree is in religious studies. You know, my master's degree is in MDiv, and my doctoral, you know, dissertation was on the Gospel of John. So I know that I done a lot of different things. Uh-huh. I know I was a cop for a while and all of that. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, you know, in my mind, you know, I knew God was going to have me in a pulpit somewhere or sitting under somebody preaching somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a doubt, you know, in my mind that that was going to happen. Because, you know, there's several times I remember, you know, reflecting back on and being contemplative, you know, with the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the cross, where and the burdens of my heart roll away.
Yeah.
But if I say, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. So, you know, it was never a question that I was going to preach. I knew that I was going to be a preacher
right.
at some point. I yeah. just had to go and say, okay, Lord, one day when I was at UCR, I was sitting in my dorm room working through sciences. I thought I was going to be a doctor.
Uh-huh.
Well, I ended up being a doctor, but not a doctor of medicine. And, you know, woo!
Come on, bro.
I ain't been the same since. Oh, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, feed my lambs. And
man.
I've been preaching ever since.
Amen. 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 You know, Danny, oh, I love that. I love it. And Dr. Demery told me about this several years ago. And he said he was wrestling, and one day God got hold of him, and he couldn't sleep. Wouldn't let you go, right, Dr. Demery?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't sleep one night. And I always knew when I hit the bed, I'm gone. But I couldn't go to sleep.
Until you're satisfied.
What am I going to do? And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, feed my lambs. So.
Oh, man. That is, Danny, that is a beautiful story, brother.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's like you were saying, William, and similar to what Danny was saying. And Martin Luther King quoted him on several occasions. Thoreau said, no idea is more powerful than whose time has come.
Mm.
A lot of people don't realize one of the reasons why the I Have a Dream speech was so powerful. You know, Martin Luther King had speech writers.
Yes.
And when he got up there to preach that sermon, Mahalia Jackson was in the background.
Uh-huh.
Mahalia said, Martin, tell him about the dream. Tell him about the dream, Martin. He closed up those notes, and he took us to church.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, my goodness. You know, Danny, you're an ordained deacon, right?
Yes.
And ever since I've known you, you've had that spirit about you, of godliness. You know?
Yes.
Now, I didn't make it that far. I only got to be a candidate for, or to be a deacon before I got.
Did he say that story today? He told the preacher said, look, you do what I tell you to.
He said,
you don't tell me.
Well, you know, it kind of went that way, but Danny, it was a little more direct than that. He said, you got to listen to me because I'm your preacher. I said, I don't give a damn who you are. But he was wrong.
Yeah,
I didn't agree with him then, and I don't agree with him now. You know, and his thing was, we were talking about children earlier. And I said, well, look, we got to teach them before they can even talk. You know, we've got to nurture them before they get out of the crib. He said, Brother Brown, no. You're wrong. We got to let children be children. And I said, well, Pastor, I can't agree with that. He said, you got to agree with me because I'm your pastor. And I said, I don't give a damn.
easy on them
now. No. And so that following Sunday, when they called, you know, the candidates is up in front. They passed me by. I said, oh, what's happening here? Y'all miss me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's so, the color spectrum, even of music, there are so many colors of music, such as it is in life. There are so many different colors of life. And the most important thing of life is to understand purpose. And just like the Reverend Demery was saying, he was running from purpose. God has purposed him to do what he's doing, and he ran from it. And God will whatever plans you have, he took and put Jonah in the belly of a whale.
Didn't he?
But I'm glad he didn't have to do that with Reb. Reb, he gave in to what God would have him do. And each of us will have the similar experience in our lives. Many of us will pass through this life and never accomplish all the many things that God would have us to do and be, because we will not recognize the power of who he is and within our purpose.
Amen. You're so right about that, brother, because, you know, one thing that I learned a long time ago, fear is crippling.
It's paralyzing.
Eesh. Say it, bro. Say it.
Fear,
you go ahead.
It does not come from the master. If it's fear, it ain't coming from God.
And you're right. It is paralyzing. I couldn't have said it better. It is definitely paralyzing. And you can, and those of you who are listening right now, if you're afraid of something, you tend to run away from it, right? You close your door, you close your ears, you say, oh my God. Now, that fear may not necessarily be something that will cause physical harm to you. That's not exactly what we're talking about. Okay? Now, if you see a grizzly bear chasing you, yeah, you better run.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about ideas and opportunity. Some people are definitely afraid of change. And let's say there's something that you're really good at, but fear strikes. What if this doesn't work? What if I'm not as received or being received as well as I would like? What if I'm not going to make the money? What if, what? That what if, man, you're handcuffing yourself. What ifs would throw handcuffs on you? All right? It will keep you stuck where you are, just like you wearing seaman's shoes. I'm serious about that. Fear is a devastating thing. And like say, Danny said, that doesn't come from God, does it, Dr. Demery? What is it in the Bible that it says about fear? I know you got something on that. I know you know. It's something there that says, fear not or something. You see, I'm not Bible scholars like both of you guys are, okay? So I can't quote, I don't know a lot of scriptures, okay? All right? I read Hebrews and Mark and Corinthians. There's three scriptures. 2 Corinthians, there's three. And I do know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that I see. That's right. I know that one. And that's in Hebrews 11:1, right, I believe, Dr. Demery, am I correct?
Yes, sir, that's right.
For by the elders will obtain a good report. Oh, I know it's more, it's coming, something that the information is coming down. I'm downloading it right now. But the thing about it is, if you seek the truth, it'll come to you. It'll come to you if you seek it. But fear is something that will distract you from where your blessings. Am I right, Dr. Demery?
Oh yeah, and if you're not careful, it'll destroy you.
Won't it?
You got to realize that you are successful when you take that first step, because this race that we run,
man,
it ain't a matter of when being first place. It's just a matter of finishing. That's what it's all about.
That's right.
So you can finish dead last. You won because you completed the task.
You finished. And so many of us give up in the middle of the race. And you don't know. Hey, look here. It's just like if you go back, and those of you who like horse racing now, I used to like horse racing a long time ago. I haven't done this in a long, long, long time. And that's okay too. And I used to bet on horse racing. Not a whole lot, because I didn't have a whole lot to bet on, but I just used to like it as fun. And thank God it didn't get out of control. But one of my strategy was to bet on the mutters. You know, you guys know, you horse racing fans out there, you know what I mean about the mutters. that means that the racetrack is muddy because it's been raining, right? And the odds were really good with some of the slower horses, right? Because the track was muddy and the faster horses didn't run well on a muddy track. So what I'm saying in that respect is, look, like you said, that race, you know, as long as you finish, okay? And sometimes that slow horse, okay, with a little water on the track, he might have the advantage, okay? Because he has, you know, because he might be a little more, he might have a little more traction because he used to run it slow, okay? Think about that. Think about what I just said. But no, the whole idea is that fear, okay? We can all be fearful of something. However, I've learned, you look it dead in the eye. You go after it. I'm not telling you to run in front of a gun, somebody shooting a gun. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your ideas, your dreams, something that you really want to do. Okay? Try it. And you'll find out that something good is going to happen about that. Dr. Demery and Danny, I've tried this many times. I had an idea. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I pursued it. I pursued that idea. Whether that was successful in my mind or not, something good came out of it because guess what? I learned something. Mm-hmm. I learned something. And whether that was successful or not, I took that learning experience onto the next venture or whatever it was. God blessed us because, blessed me and us, because, I had an idea. Like I said, I was invited. Man, going back to 2012, 2013 of being a radio host, never thought that I would have my own station, but I knew that I loved what I was doing, even though I was invited, hadn't thought about it before, but I just love being on the radio. And this was a talk show, that I was part of, and the original host left, you know, and I took the show over and changed the name. But I wanted to do something more. I wanted to do something with music. And that idea expanded from me being like 4 hours on the radio to being on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this station. God bless me with that. Now, am I rich right now? No. So those of you who think, say, well, Bro Brown, send me a check. I can't send you no checks right now, okay? Can't do it. That's not it. But the success is that I did something, am doing something that I really love doing. And I think that we have some of the finest programs anywhere that goes around the world. I really believe that because I have great, great co-hosts. I have good people that's working with me. Brother Tisdale, Dr. Demery, Ann Wooten Taylor, Dr. Sims, Dr. Joyce Woodbury Harris, Deacon the Derek the Change Man Smith, AKA Deacon Otis Wicknine. I've got, my son who hosts the, sports program. I have Teens Talk Truth, young teenagers with their teenage show. Oh my God. I know I'm leaving a whole bunch out. Ms. CC's Kitchen. Danny, you like that program too, that comes on Thursday.
The program, it really talked to some very truths and different matters once people, have come, parted ways. How they should yet conduct themselves, especially after the production of children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was, that topic was really good. I enjoy what she was saying about it because more important is the children. So even though in divorce and different things, sometimes they use the children as pawns, and that's unfortunate.
That's so wrong. That is so wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, wow, Brother Jamal Hawkins, are you listening in? Hey, thank you so much. One of my friends back there in San Bernardino, California, and also a member of the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, Robert Brown. Wow, a great man out there also in Southern California. Just really good stuff. Thank you guys for listening in. This is really amazing. You know, and you're right. with her program, we talk about families and children and truth, honesty, you know. And what I get out of that too is that those of us who are parents and grandparents and whoever it is, you want to make sure that you set a good example for your children. Dr. Demery, it is extremely, in my opinion, important that we conduct ourselves in a way that is truthful. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about that's truthful for our children. I believe that truth sets the foundation. Okay. I think a lie, you have no foundation. You're on sinking sand. Dr. Demery.
Well, you know, the old saying goes, and Danny can comment, when you tell a lie, you got to tell another lie to confirm that lie. And before you know it, you done told 3, 4, 5 lies to make up for that one lie that you told at the very beginning.
And you can't.
So it's an process when you lie. That's the problem with Trump. Whenever he opens his mouth, you know.
You know he is.
You know, the point being is that when you lie, you're sinking sand. And you're not telling the truth. That's why the devil is successful at what he does. We have to be real about that. He's very successful at what he does because he's a deceiver, you know.
Right.
And will lie to get across, to deceive you into thinking. He tried to do that with Eve.
Mm.
Way back when he said, look, you won't become, you're going to become like God if you eat this piece of fruit. And she said, oh, really? So, you know, and Adam loved her so much that he ate too. So he could have not eaten and we would have probably had a different history, but that's the way it turned out.
Right. And Danny, you know what? For me to sit up here and say I've never lied in the past or I have lied, that's a lie. And I'm telling you, I remember when I have told one, and I'm so careful about that today, because Dr. Demery would tell you, we did, as a matter of fact, it was either, I know it was at least a 2 or 3 part series on the cause, the effects, and the devastating impact that lying will do to you. Mm-hmm. There is now, folks, what I'm saying right now, we've studied, there's, you can Google it. Google the adverse effects or the ill effects that lying would do to you. When we do anything, especially, let's say, whether it's truth, whether it's deceit, or whatever it is, there are chemicals that are released in our bodies.
This is true.
You're going to release serotonin, endorphins, or you're going to release cortisol. Endorphins, serotonin, that's the good stuff. Endorphins is poison. Within our bodies, it contains poison. Okay? That doesn't mean that your system is poison unless you release it. And what you think and how you think it detects or defines or it releases whatever chemicals and whatever actions that we are taking. Danny, your take.
You know, it's when you lie, the first person that you're deceiving is self. And anybody that will, at that point, when they figure out that you're talking to a person that has the inability to be factual and to be truthful,
mm-hmm.
then you can have no confidence in whatever they say.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's unfortunate. But again, like I say, the first person that's been lied to, when you lie, you're lying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you open up that can of worms, your righteous indignation is missing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not present. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Well, why do God tell us to be angry and sin not? Well, he wants your anger to motivate you into a positive place to fix whatever the problem is. But he don't want you to do it in a sinful way. He wants you to do it in a godly way and in a holy way. You know what I mean? And in his way. Mm-hmm. So as long as we can line up, and when we learn to hate what God hates, to be angry at what God is angered by, then we're walking in godly anger. So anger is good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you just have to be, it has to give the glory of God. So lying, God cannot, will not allow a liar to tarry in his sight.
Right. And if you get hold, when you get caught up in a drug of lying, and I'm going to say, I'm not going to step back from that. Lying and consistently lying, it becomes a drug. All right? Like Dr. Dimmer said, you lie, then you got to tell another lie, then you got to tell another lie to cover up, and you're not going to remember any of that. Okay? What does a drug addict do? They shoot up drugs, then they got to have more drugs, then they have to have more drugs and more drugs to try to get that feeling back, right?
Yeah, they want that mood-altering feeling. That,
come on.
That drug comes.
Right.
That brings them, but it's only for a temporary time. So at any point in life, you got to come back down to reality.
You have to. And lying is not reality. Right. And if you're living in a non-reality zone, okay, or something of this deception, that cannot be healthy for you. It can't be. And now we're not only talking about mentally, we're talking about physically, but let's go back to the mental part of it. If I'm living a web of lies, my brain, Dr. Demery, come on, I need you to jump on this. If I'm living in a web of lies, then my brain cannot function properly, can it?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, let's elaborate on that a little bit.
It's fantasization. So that's why, like, people that get on the internet and get into these crazy chat rooms and all that kind of stuff, it's fantasy because it's not reality. And that's what I think is so dangerous about people to watch those, you know, reality shows. That's not what real life is.
Right.
You know, it's staged, it's set up, it's not real. And when you engage in that, you're engaging in a false reality of the way things really are.
It is absolutely crazy. Danny.
Yes.
Let's hitchhike on what, Dr. Dimmer was saying. This crazy phenomenon that's come over the last couple of years called QAnon. And these theories and these suggestions and publications these people put on, it is absolutely nuts. It is absolutely nuts. And people are getting killed behind this. This is the danger of this garbage, Danny.
Right. Because you can never engage a fool in his folly.
Ooh.
You know, you cannot engage with him in his folly, but you can engage with him about his folly. Mm. But you have to be careful with that, because then you become a fool yourself, because he will draw you in to his foolishness. But you can't, you got to handle foolishness in a certain way, that it gives no dignity to the foolishness within the folly of the person that's bringing it to you.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, brother. Then how, in your opinion, you know, how do these people fall for this? How do they become so vulnerable to this? What is it that they're missing in their lives that will let them fall with such stupidity, such foolishness? What is it, Danny?
Lack of knowledge and wisdom and understanding.
Dr. Demery?
I would agree with Danny 100%. And I would also add to that, they are not anointed. You can tell an anointed person, you can tell someone who ain't anointed. That's one of the problems I have said before, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it, this Christian nationalism, they think that they are being Christian by people to hate, and they think that Trump is the Messiah. They really believe that garbage. They really believe that stuff. You know, just like we were talking earlier in the first part of the show, they believe that he was being mistreated because he stole stuff from the government that he should not have taken.
Had no business.
Documents, and they believe that he's been mistreated. He even said, in his own words, if you have to plead the fifth, then you ain't telling the truth. Well, he pled the fifth over 100 times when they had him in the inquiry. If you're telling the truth, you don't have to plead the fifth.
That's and right.
I don't understand in such a position as a leader of the of this country. Why do you want to operate in the spirit of deception at all? Right. You know what I mean? Because all you got to do is get in your position and do the best things in this government for the people, by the people.
Mm. You know, Danny, unless your spirit is evil, you know, then you're going to follow evil. You know, if you are someone who feels that at all costs, I'm going to do whatever I want to do as long as I get ahead. Remember that saying that came out in the 70s? You know, I'm going to get over. I'm going to get over. Now, they ain't talking about the gospel part of getting over. You know, I'm going to get over, meaning that I'm going to get whatever I need at all costs. Forget you. It's about me. And now, we got a few minutes to go, and then we're going to come back and comment on this. And we'll be right back with this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to us over the last several weeks, we've talked about some of this garbage, and a lot of it came from the church, especially the evangelical church, the Southern Evangelical Church, and also something that I learned over the last few weeks. Then you go up the north, and you talk about some of these Catholic churches, but we're going to talk about this right on the other side, okay?
Christian preacher goes on a rant, all right? These individuals support Donald Trump. Now, I want to show you this rant and highlight some nuances that are quite interesting. Let's go to the first video. Here it is.
We see the Nancy Pelosi's of this world. We see the Kamala Harris's of this world. We see the work that they're doing, and that's why I reject women in any position of authority or leadership. You know, it makes me mad every time I drive up and down the street. There's this stupid billboard or this stupid little poster I see for, like, Pamela Bogus or something running for judge. And I'm thinking, what a curse unto our nation. She's a conservative. She's a Republican. Well, get in the kitchen and start making conservative sandwiches. Where in the Bible did it say that... Oh, here's the virtuous woman. She's the judge. No, her husband's in the gate. Her husband's the judge. Her husband's the ruler. Her husband's in dominion. And what kind of weak man is campaigning for his wife? You lost your right to the man card, my friend. I'm Mr. Bogus. You know, I'm Mr. Pamela Bogus. Sick freak. And you know what? Why can't you run? Why can't you lead?
Silly rabbit tricks are for kids, but I got some facts for you. His name is Pastor Jonathan Shelley of Steadfast Baptist Church. He praised the death of a spectator at a Florida Pride parade after a truck drove into the crowd. This was June 2019. He also called for the killing of people who are gay. Let me go to the next video of this clown.
Are you going to let her hand you an apple from the tree too? I mean, the Bible is crystal clear on who's supposed to be ruling, who's supposed to be leading. You know, and women are supposed to be obedient. They're not supposed to be in charge or telling us what to do. I mean, when a woman is the top of the free world, we're doomed. And we are like one half heartbeat away. I mean, We are one small trip away. Literally. I mean, we're one bad cough. I mean, it's just like, that is scary. That should be terrifying to all of us. And there's states where women are the governors. There's, in this state, women are running for governor. You are an idiot if you vote for a woman.
I'm going to stop it right there. Danny? Dr. Demery?
I'm sorry.
Where did they get this nut from?
This is an abomination. What are you saying that women, oh my God, should be in no position of leadership? And this is the Steadfast Church out of somewhere. And I'm tell you something, like, he's married and there were women in the audience chuckling. This is absolutely a shame for someone to get up and claim that they are a preacher and spewing this filth, this garbage. Now, I don't know how many guys out there that's listening to us right now that believe the same stuff. Okay? Now, this is a family show, so I'm not going to use the word that's circling through my mind right now. And besides, I've said I'm not going to cuss no more on Sundays. This is the stuff that's being taught. Now, keep in mind, this same preacher, I think he's being kicked out of the place that he is in right now because they can't pay the rent for the lease. I mean, they can't pay the lease. But that's a whole nother difference. The situation is that this guy is on the internet. Anybody can listen to him. And Dr. Demery, I can't believe that he would have women followers. But this is the state of part of our union right now where these guys can come and say things that are detrimental to women and treat them like second-class citizens as if they were back in the day when women couldn't vote. Well, we know that black people couldn't vote a long time ago, but women also. And it didn't matter what color they were, they weren't allowed to vote. You got some preachers right now that say that women shouldn't be in the pulpit. Okay? Now, I believe going back to the Bible or biblical days, now, didn't you have women preachers? Or God didn't say that a woman could never preach. I mean, is that anywhere in the Bible that says a woman couldn't preach, Dr. Demery?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So what would you say, Danny, about somebody that's spewing this filth?
I believe that God can use what he chooses to use
mm-hmm.
to perform his will. Be it man or woman, even though so many things within the Bible say man this, man that. Yes, man is chosen and designated as the head of the household
mm-hmm.
from a biblical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And these things are true. I think this minister is so tied into that that he can't see that God can also use women to do his will and his purpose. That's as much as I can say to that
mm-hmm.
without reaching in and getting into an in-depth Bible search mm-hmm. or scriptures to confirm that. But back in one day, Ruth, when she a judge, which one was the judges over the tribes?
Yeah.
It was Ruth.
Right? It was Ruth. So I just believe that God will use what he needs because there are so many paralyzed men out here and their thought process is so distorted, you know, that it's not earthly good and it's not heavenly good because there is godliness and then there's ungodliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's righteous anger and there's unrighteous anger. All these things have to be understood by each of us. And that we can operate in the fullness of what God would have us do.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Dr. Demery, you got the last word. Dr. Demery, you got the last word.
God used Balaam's donkey, who was a female, to speak to him. If he can use a donkey to you know?
That's right.
Lord, have mercy. Like Danny says, God will use anything. He'll crack a rock open and begin to speak.
Right.
Use anything that he will, from the clouds, from the ocean, from no matter what it is, God will use that to get his word across. No doubt.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. I've got one last thing to say about that. Can you imagine if there were no women that attended or worked in our churches? Can you imagine?
It would fall apart. My church would cease to exist.
This is what we talk about, Daddy. Hey, guys. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed the broadcast. I hope our audience did. And ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed it, please don't keep it a secret. Share it with a friend. It will be in, under our archives in about 24 hours. You can go to Studio W Buzz, and that's studiowbuzz.com. And you, and there's, in, on the main page, there are tabs, several tabs there. And right under the on air tab, there's a drop down that says archive shows. You can hear the show again, or please, please, please share it with a friend. And that's studiowbuzz.com. I'm going to take a quick break and be back in about 55 minutes with Sunday Night Gold. Danny, Dr. Demery, yes. Thank you, gentlemen.
Godspeed.
My pleasure, my friends. Guys, gals, keep it locked right here to studiowbuzz.com, your global radio network. Good night, all.